There's a phrase in the scripture that has to do with our heart. 1 Samuel chapter 10, we're touched by a song, we're touched by a poem, we're touched by a card that we might receive from a friend. We're touched so many different ways. Well, I believe the Lord wants to touch our hearts as well. 1 Samuel chapter 10, beginning at verse 24. Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him who the Lord hath chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul, which you thought we were talking about David, didn't you? Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. This band of men that accompanied Saul to his home in Gibeah. And they went with him because God touched their hearts. Amen. And there was a change that came to them. There was another direction that they went because God touched their hearts. I believe that's what God wants to do. Amen. And thank God, he's the only one who can do it as thoroughly as we know he can. Amen. And what a tremendous blessing he brings as a result. You may be seated. God bless you today. There are numerous instances in Scripture where there was a touch from God. And in the Old Testament, we see this example, when Saul was appointed king, anointed king, and his beginning was very strong and very supported and ordained of the Lord. And God touched hearts as a result. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and that's the way the Lord is. He's high and lifted up. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Amen. That's why we've got to constantly reach for something greater, something higher, something more powerful, because what is around us and what is in us is not adequate. We've got to have something higher, something more powerful, something more able. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord and his ways and his thoughts are above us, but not to the point that he is untouchable or unreachable. Amen. We're able to reach and receive from him the blessings that he has in store for us. So we do exalt him in worship. We do lift him up in praise and in worship. Praise God. And Isaiah, in this moment, saw him sitting upon his throne. Praise God. And his train filled the temple, which is a significance of how great his power was, how complete and total his majesty would be. Thank God he is still on his throne. Amen. One sits on the throne, and thank God we know his name to be Jesus, the blessed and only potentate, the Bible says, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. And Isaiah had the privilege of seeing him. He not only saw the Lord, but he heard the worship that was going on. Holy, holy, holy. Just as we sang it today, the seraphims were singing it so that Isaiah could hear and could see what was going on. Holy, 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 they were proclaiming. is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Praise God. And what a magnificent scene that Isaiah was beholding, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, dwelling in a high and holy place. Praise God. And I often think, what would my response be if I had the privilege of beholding that, if I saw that vision, if that was opened up for me in the heavenly realm to gaze upon the Lord and his throne? What would my response be? Would I dash about the area like we feel like doing sometimes? Would I stand in place and run a 3-minute mile and just be so excited about the presence of the Lord? Or would I react like Isaiah? Woe is me. Now that seems to be a strange response. When you have the opportunity to see the Lord high and lifted up, when you see him upon his throne, you hear the seraphim singing, and all the glory and the majesty is so amazing and so powerful. But what he was noticing, what he was recognizing, is how high the Lord is and how low he was. So his response, woe is me. He saw himself as he is. And Isaiah would write it later on in his book, Isaiah 64 and 6. He would write about works of righteousness that are like filthy rags. They just really don't count. They just need to be thrown out. They're trash. They're nothing. And we are shriveled up like a leaf, and like a wind sweeps us away because of our sin. And the problems that are there as a result of our nature that is fallen. And so Isaiah would rightfully proclaim it, I am undone. I am unclean. He knew he could not measure up on himself. He knew he fell far short of what God desired in his life. And that's true. And the Bible concludes that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we all fall. And Isaiah is not a minority. He's by far the majority. He's everybody. He represents everybody. But praise God, that's not where he's left. That's not where he remained. Amen. And the same for you and I. We can be complete. We can be cleansed. Praise God. The Lord can take care of our needs and bring us into a whole new experience because of a touch from the Lord. Now, the Lord interrupted, I suppose, the song, or maybe he got somebody else who is standing there waiting attentively for directions. And he directed him to take a coal, a live coal, from off of the altar. And he had to pick it up with tongs. A smart angel. Don't want to get yourself burned. But he picked it up with tongs, a live coal from the altar. Praise God. And I like to think that's representative of the Holy Ghost, because angels can't touch that. They'd love to receive it. They'd love to be able to have the experience of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance and the Spirit of the Lord coming within. They'd love to trade places with you to be able to know the power and the glory of God, of greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. He picked up the live coal. He took it to Isaiah, and he touched his lips. And the Bible says his iniquity was taken away and his sins were purged. Oh, thank God for the power of the Lord to bring about a change as a result of a touch, a change that would bring a completion and a cleansing. And Isaiah was able to declare himself available to the Lord because God was asking, who will go? Who will I send? And Isaiah was quick to reply, quick to step up and say, here am I. Send me. I want to go. I want to. Praise God. What a change. What a powerful change that would come in his life, in his heart. And the message that the Lord spoke of, how that they needed to hear with their ears and see with their eyes. See, the Lord made those so that we could serve him. Not so that we could go and indulge ourselves in the pleasures of this world, which are only for a season, a short period of time, but to move into that realm where the Lord could use us for His glory and for His power. Praise God. And the priority is there in Isaiah 6 and 10 that they would understand with their heart. See with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart. Because that's where God wants to touch us. That's where He wants to make the change. Now, we looked at the beginning of Saul's kingdom here, Saul's reign. And it's sad that it turned out the way that it did. It's shameful that it didn't continue in the manner that God had provided. He had all the support. He had all the means. There was nobody like him. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He was the one who was humble, and God could use him if he remained in that attitude. But we know how things turned out. Saul failed. But thank God there's another Saul in the word of the Lord. Amen. Another one who was called Saul of Tarsus. He thought he was doing God a service by persecuting those of the name of Jesus. And he did not listen to all of the words of his teacher, Gamaliel. Gamaliel had a lot of things to impart to him, to share with him, as he mentored Saul of Tarsus. And he should have taken heed to what Gamaliel told him. If you're fighting against God, you're not going to win. It's not going to happen. If it's of man, it's going to come to nothing anyway. Praise God. I'm thankful that his words were fulfilled in powerful manner, because we know it is of God, and it has not failed. It has not stopped. If indeed it was of man, it would have fallen apart long ago. It wouldn't have made it into the second century. But thank God the power of the Lord is able to bring about a change and bring power into people's lives. So that Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, seeing the light, hearing the voice, and that seeing and hearing that Isaiah talked about, thank God that Saul of Tarsus recognized the Lord when he declared, "I am Jesus." And the repentance that was in his heart, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And the 3 days of fasting and praying, oh, he was serious, all right. He was definitely focused. He was not playing games, as it were. There wasn't anything lighthearted or so what about it. No, he was focused. God had touched him. Amen. Thank the Lord. And now Ananias was receiving a touch, overcoming his fear, wanting to avoid contact with this Saul of Tarsus because of the fear that had been instilled in the hearts of those who followed Jesus as a result of the persecutions of Saul of Tarsus. But thank God, Ananias overcame that fear, ministered to Brother Saul. He put his hands on Saul. No doubt there were some who used a common phrase that we might use from time to time. If I could just get my hands on him. You know, we want to give somebody the benefit of the fivefold ministry sometimes. But he laid hands on Brother Saul. And oh, what a change. What a melting of his heart. What a touching of his heart. Praise God. And an understanding of his heart. When Ananias would say, "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way, hath sent me." Praise God. And oh, it all came together for him, and he recognized how God had ordered his steps and directed him to understand this blessing and this touch from the Lord. Praise God. I'm thankful that Saul of Tarsus received his sight. He received the Spirit. He was baptized in the name of Jesus, washing away his sin, calling on the name of the Lord that he had just been introduced to when he declared, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." That's the name that he was baptized in. Oh, thank God for the touch that the Lord can bring in our lives and the help that he can provide again and again as we know his blessing to be there. Praise God. But what about these men now? What about these men whose hearts God had touched? The band of men that followed Saul to Gibeah and the ones who were there with him. They served Saul and saw the downward trajectory of his reign. And then when David became king, when David defeated Goliath, when David celebrated that victory, they joined right in. Praise God. See, God had touched their hearts. There wasn't a problem there. They recognized God's hand is upon David. God is with David. We're going to celebrate him. We're going to follow him. Praise God. And there was a long time between the anointing of Samuel upon David and the time that he would occupy the throne, but David was faithful, and these men recognized that. Their hearts had been touched, and they, no doubt, some of them stepped into the category of David's mighty men. Their hearts had been touched. Praise God. Awesome acts and fearsome feats that they were able to do. One killed 800 of the enemy. Another fought the Philistines until his hand was cramped and it gripped his sword and he couldn't release it. But the Lord wrought a great victory. Praise God. Thank the Lord. God steps in and helps those who don't give up. They continue on. They're not going to stop. Another of the great men protected a patch of peas. Who in the world would think a patch of peas is going to be important enough to protect? But again, the Lord wrought a great victory. One fought an Egyptian with a staff and took the Egyptian's spear away and killed him with his own spear. Another killed two lion-like men. Didn't stop there. He killed a real lion in a pit on a snowy day. Huh. I wonder what the temperature was. David desired a drink from the well of Bethlehem. He just was musing. He just was you know, thinking out loud, so to speak. Oh, that I had a drink from the well of Bethlehem. Three of those men heard him. They broke through the ranks of those who were besieging them. They broke through the ranks of those who were at Bethlehem. They got the water. They came back through the enemy, and they presented that water to David. Now, David poured it out. I thought, you know, that's kind of a waste. Those guys endangered their lives. Those guys went on a mission to bring David the water, and he just poured it out. What you got to understand is David was using it as a sacrifice. He knew that these men put their lives on the line. He knew that they were giving themselves to the kingdom and to the king. And he poured it out, recognizing how amazing it was. It wasn't a waste. It was a sacrifice. Amen. And David then offered a sacrifice as well. Ornan's threshing floor. Ornan's attitude was admirable. He said, I'd give it to you. I'll just give it to you. The oxen, the wheat, the threshing implements, everything. You can use it for a sacrifice. But David said, no. I'm going to pay you full price. There was no shortcuts. There was no bargain deals. There was no back and forth. Well, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do. You know, how often do we get caught up in that? Lord, if you answer my prayer, then I'll. No, it needs to be, God, you've touched my heart. God, you've brought salvation so great and so wonderful. God, you've healed my body. God, you've provided for my finances. God, you've ministered in so many ways. I'm going to serve you with everything I've got, everything I have, everything that I can be, everything that I see in the future. Lord, it belongs to you, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you because you've touched my heart. Praise God. David determined to pay the price. He paid Ornan for his threshing floor. He built an altar. He offered a sacrifice. He called upon the Lord. It wasn't just going through the motions. It wasn't just something that he felt that he had to do. God recognized his sacrifice. God saw what he was doing, and the Lord answered from heaven by fire. Oh, I'm thankful. The Lord knows how to send his fire. The Lord knows how to bring about the results. The Lord knows how to bring the answer that we reach out to him for. Praise God. Amen. Elijah, with the miracles that were done. Amazing how in a time of famine, in a time of drought, the Lord ordained some ravens to feed him. We talk about meals on wheels. There's meals on wings, and the Lord provided there. Then his water source dried up, and he might have complained, God, you've forsaken me. God, what's going on here? I need some water. The ravens are bringing the bread, but I need some water. What happened to this creek anyway? How come it's dried up? Because God was moving him on. God was preparing him to move into a new dimension. God was bringing him into a place where he could use him in an even greater manner. And he said, I go into the city. I've commanded a widow woman to provide for you. And so he went. Encountered the woman with her little son. And asked her to bake him a cake. I only have enough for my son and I. I'm going to bake it. We're going to eat it. We're going to starve. Make a cake for me first. Oh, my. Don't you know that would have changed and altered people's opinions about that prophet, about that preacher? He only works one day a week, and only in the mornings. Then he eats fried chicken. Then he just lays around the rest of the week. Oh, I remember. Oh, yeah. But the barrel of meal and the bottle of oil didn't fail. Praise God. Amen. I don't think they were overflowing. I don't think the barrel was completely full and she just had to stand there and dip. You know, when it came time to pour more oil out of the bottle, I don't think she just barely tipped it and it started to pour. I think each time it was like there was enough there. And almost falling in the barrel to reach for more meal. But every time, there was enough for her, her son, and Elijah. Because God had commanded. Amen. His word was being fulfilled. Praise God. You look at 1 Kings 17 that has this story, and the word of the Lord is mentioned 5 times. The word of the Lord goes forth, it's going to be fulfilled. The word of the Lord is what we stand on. The word of the Lord is what we believe. The word of the Lord is what we hold on to. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for those blessings and power that the Lord has in mind. Now, God had moved Elijah so that he would get away from the brook to the widow's house and finally up on Mount Carmel, up on top of the mountain, where he issued a challenge to the popular prophets of Baal. So popular, their numbers so great, and Elijah is one. And here was the deal. Let God who answers by fire be God. Elijah knew his history. He knew what the Lord could do. He knew how that God had answered by fire many, many times before. Amen. And he knew God could do it again. So, he's on that mountain. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 others, 800 plus that were there, and one prophet of God. Sometimes you might feel isolated. Sometimes you might feel outnumbered. Sometimes the devil may try to intimidate you. But you just remember Elijah. Praise God. And how he served the Lord. And how he trusted God. And how the Lord showed up several times there to minister to him. He challenged those prophets to get their sacrifice ready. They got it all together. They cut up their bull. They put it in place there. They carried on with their prayers and their chants and so on, and Elijah just mocked them. Your God's visiting, your God's sleeping, he's taking a nap. Cry louder, you might get his attention. They began to cut themselves in their sincerity. They mixed their blood with the blood of the sacrifice. but no fire. Elijah finally stepped up and said, my turn. And he built that altar. And he dug a ditch. And he called for 12 barrels of water. Amen. And he prayed a prayer of 63 words. Now, we know God can move and just hollering out his name, Jesus. Amen. But you got to remember, Elijah had a backlog of prayer for the 3.5 years now that the drought has been going on. And that's why he could pray so short a prayer and God answer by fire. Amen. Amen. And it wasn't just a little flame, a little plume going up, you know, and a little bit of tendril of smoke going up. No, no. It was a fire that evaporated the water and the blood and burned up the sacrifice and the wood that was under it. And not only that, but the stones and the dust as well. What a fire. God doesn't mess around. He provides. He blesses. He ministers. Praise God. Amen. And I like the way there's blood and water and fire. Amen. The very same elements that the Lord uses to bring a change in people's lives right now today. His blood to forgive our sins, the waters of baptism. We take on his name, the fire of the Holy Ghost that falls upon us. Hallelujah. To bring warmth, to bring comfort, to bring illumination, to burn up what doesn't need to be there, to bring us into his presence in an even greater way. Amen. Well, Elijah ends up in a cave. And after a wind and an earthquake and a fire, he hears a still small voice. Praise God. The Lord's not always going to move in spectacular and sensational ways. It's not always going to be that way. You've got to be in tune with his voice. Amen. Because sometimes it's still and it's small. It's a whisper. But you've got to be ready to hear. Praise God. And the Lord commissioned him to anoint two kings and a prophet named Elisha. God had touched Elijah so that he could touch the lives of others. And the Lord wants to do the same with you. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful the Lord touches our lives in such an amazing way. How he blesses, how he ministers, thank God. And the change that his touch brings. The paralyzed are able to walk. The blind are able to see. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised. Amen. Thank God that he provides in our finances. He blesses in our families. He provides in such an amazing way. Our hearts being touched. Amen. Amen. Praise God. A new heart, a new spirit, Ezekiel talks about. Thank the Lord. And that touch will last through this life into eternity. Praise God. Amen. An amazing touch. Never thirst, because there's rivers of living water. Power from on high. Not power that we might glean from favoritism or any kind of contact here on this world, but power from on high. Amen. Where we have the strength and the blessing of the Lord to do a work in our lives. Power to witness because of a changed life. It's different than what it was before. Amen. And the power of God has brought about that difference. Receive righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank God that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory in what the Lord desires to fulfill in our lives as we reach out to him. A hope of heaven. Thank God. Because there is going to be a trumpet that will sound. There is going to be a voice that will shout. The voice of the archangel. Amen. And we're raptured into his presence. Translated into his presence. Praise God. Now John wrote Revelation. Amazing. 90 plus years old. In circumstances that are not ideal. They're not even good. Far from being fair, but he let the Lord use him. And there's a key to that. There's a reason that John was able to write Revelation. He saw the Lord, and he fell at his feet. And he said, "The Lord laid his hand upon me." Praise God. He said, "I fell at his feet as dead. And he came and he laid his hand on me." Praise God. And then he arose and wrote the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. As God would show him heaven. God would show him judgment. God would show him the blessings that he would have in store for those who arrive in the heavenly realm. Amen. And oh, I pray, God, let your touch be upon us today. Let your presence be in our lives today. Amen. Because we want to make heaven our home. We want to be in that realm forever. We want to be in your presence. Amen. In an everlasting blessing that he would have in store for us. Praise God. Let's stand today. I'm thankful the Lord still touches hearts. He still touches lives. He still ministers in a powerful way. Thank God. Thank God. Those men whose hearts were touched went another direction, had another destination, moved in another realm because the Lord touched them. Amen. Thank God that that's what he does for us today. A whole new direction, a whole new destination, a whole new outlook. Amen. Because he touches our hearts. Praise God. Now, John was the youngest of the disciples. That's why he could outrun Peter. It's funny he put that in his book. I beat him. Peter can preach on the day of Pentecost, but I can outrun him any day. And now he's by himself. All the others have passed on. All the others are gone. All the other apostles, disciples. He's the last one. He could have, and is not in good circumstances, as we said. He's in prison. The Roman emperor exiled him. And tradition tells us Patmos was a salt mine. And that's where this 90-year-old apostle is working. Among the worst criminals of the empire. Definitely not good circumstances. But the touch that he got from God a long time before, the evidence that he saw with his own eyes as the Lord again and again and again did miracles. Now, John only wrote down 7 of them. In the Gospel of John, there's only 7 miracles. And John ends that book by saying, if we wrote down everything that the Lord did, the whole world could not contain the books that would have to be written. John didn't need a whole lot of evidence. He knew this is God. And then when he got that touch from the Lord again, he was quick to pick up that pen. I don't know how he got the writing material. I don't know how he got the time, but he squeezed it in. And God directed him. God helped him. Praise God. And those chapter after chapter of Revelation. And when he sees that city, and he sees the 12 foundations, and the names of the apostles are written on the foundations, and he sees his own name, John. Oh, my goodness. What a hallelujah breakdown he must have had. Those old bones moving and rattling and shaking. Praise God. As he's thrilled with what the Lord is showing him. God has much to show us. Let's let him touch our hearts again and again. Let's let him bless us again and again. Come on. Come on. Let's pray for a little while here. We've got lots of time. Amen. Let's come in the presence of the Lord. And let's let God minister to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As the people of God, we minister to one another. And we expect the blessings of God to come flowing into our lives in great abundance. Thank the Lord that He does that work. And He ministers to us in such a wonderful way. Praise God. Praise God.